Thank you. Thank you. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. All glories, all glories to the dear devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Accompanied by his devotees, Lord Chaitanya always performs Sankirtan in Navadvip. At night and behind closed doors, Lord Chaitanya performed Kirtan. But outsiders could not enter. Lord Chaitanya always considered Advaitacharya his spiritual master. And when the Lord would offer him respect, Advaitacharya would experience great unhappiness. Advaitacharya's only desire was to directly serve the Lord. While Lord Chaitanya slept, Advaita would grasp his feet. In his heart, he meditated upon Lord Chaitanya's feet. The direct service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was constantly his only desire. Although he did not have the power to serve him directly, Advaitacharya yearned to do so. Therefore, Advaita resorted to stealing the dust from Lord Chaitanya's feet. When Lord Chaitanya fainted in ecstatic love, Advaita approached the Lord's feet, offering dandavat obeisances. He fell before the soles of the Lord's feet, and with the tears from his eyes, Advaitacharya would wash the Lord's feet. When Lord Chaitanya fainted in ecstasy, on his own head Advaita wiped the Lord's feet. Offering dandavat obeisances, he worshipped the Lord. Only because he had attained Lord Chaitanya's great, great mercy could Advaitacharya act in these ways. One day, however, Lord Chaitanya danced, and Advaita happily followed him. Then Lord Chaitanya fell unconscious, and seeing this, Advaita, as he had done many, many times before, anointed his limbs with the dust of the Lord's feet. And then he hid. When Lord Chaitanya returned to consciousness again, he began dancing. But after dancing and dancing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exclaimed, "Why is ecstasy absent from my heart? Whom have I offended that I now do not feel joyful? What was stolen from me? Who stole it? I now have no power to dance in ecstasy. Has someone taken the dust from my feet? Tell the truth. Has anyone touched my feet?" Hearing the words of He who is the Super Soul present in everyone's heart, the devotees all became afraid. Silent. No one spoke. If they were to speak and tell the truth, they would have to face the response of Advaitacharya. And if they did not speak, they would die. Understanding their dilemma, Advaita folded his hands before Lord Chaitanya and said, "If a thief cannot take directly, O Lord, he will take when no one is looking. O Lord, it is I who am the thief. Please forgive my transgression. If it displeases you, I will not do it again." But Advaita's words made Lord Chaitanya angry. And on that pretext, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began describing the glories of Advaitacharya. He said, "You destroy everything, and even then you feel no remorse in your heart. You won't be happy unless you destroy me also. You kill the ascetics. You kill the sannyasis, the yogis and philosophers. Whom do you not kill with your trident? When you touch the dust of a person's feet, you destroy him. Without mercy, you destroy him. Lord Krishna has given you all the devotion that exists in the countless universes, but you nevertheless rob a small person who has so little. There is no mercy in your heart. You rob from the poor. You are the greatest of robbers. You have robbed my happiness of love for Lord Krishna." In this way, on the pretext of criticizing Advaitacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised his position. And hearing the Lord's words, all the devotees floated in bliss. Then Lord Chaitanya said, "You have robbed me. Can I not rob you? Look, look, I will steal from the thief himself." And after speaking these words, Lord Chaitanya grasped Advaita's feet. And while laughing and laughing, he took all the dust that was there. Advaita had no power to defeat the fair lion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On his own head, Lord Chaitanya rubbed Advaita's feet, holding them to his own chest. Lord Chaitanya said, "Look, look, I have tied up the thief. I have imprisoned him in my heart. 100 times you robbed me. Now in one sitting, I reclaim all the property that you robbed from me." Advaitacharya replied, "What you say is true. You are now the owner of my life, my intelligence, my mind, my body. All are your property. You are the one who awards happiness, and you also award suffering. If you punish someone, who can protect him? Narada and the sages went to Dwarka's city to see the life's treasure that is your feet. Then you took the dust from their feet. What could they do, that I ask you? When you take the dust of your servant's feet, what can that servant do? How can your servant give the dust of his feet to you? Yet who can disobey your command? It is not right for the Supreme Lord to act in this way. You will destroy me, and you think it is funny. You may either protect me or destroy me, Lord. You will do whatever you wish. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded by saying, Advaita Charja, you are the keeper of the storehouse of devotional service. That is why I serve your feet. Anyone who anoints his body with the dust of your feet will float in the nectar of pure love for Lord Krishna. If you do not give it, no one can attain devotional service. Please know perfectly well that I am your property. You can sell me as you like. You can give me away. I tell you the truth. Lord Chaitanya suddenly stood up, saying, Haribol! Then the devotees around him in the four directions began to sing, and overcome with bliss, forgetting all else, and now becoming like a wild man, Advaita Charja danced, placing his hand on his beard and knitting his eyebrows, Advaita Charja, the master of Shantipur, loudly roared. Then he began to dance. Day and night, everyone happily sang, Hare Krishna, Gopal, Govinda, Vanamale, Haribo, Haribo. In this way, concealing his true identity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes of Sankirtan each night in Navadvipa. When he walked in the town, all who saw him thought he was Kamadev himself. Yet materialists and offenders, seeing his activities, considered him proud. Yet, because they knew the great power of his learning, they feared him. One day, someone who was envious said to the Lord as he wandered throughout Navadvipa, Oh, Nimai Pandit, soon the king will send out an order to bring you to his court. He knows that in secret, every night, you and your followers are performing kirtan. We are telling you this the truth in advance for your welfare, so you can be prepared. To this the Lord replied, So be it, so be it. Thank you. For I have wished to hear these words. I will see the king. From childhood I have studied all the scriptures, but thinking me only a boy, no one will question me about Shastra. It is my desire that people seek me out and question me. The materialists and offenders replied, The king just wants to hear if you are breaking the law when you perform Sankirtan. He doesn't want a scholarly debate. He's a Muslim. Thinking the materialists and offenders no one more important than a blade of grass, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his home saying, "Today I spoke with materialists. Everyone, let us now chant Krishna's holy names in Sankirtan. Then my unhappiness will perish." Lord Chaitanya, the king of Vaikuntha, then began his dancing. And surrounding him in the four directions, his followers sang. And after dancing and dancing, the Lord stopped and said, "Oh my brothers, why do I not feel ecstatic love today? Perhaps I'm not experiencing ecstasy because today I spoke with materialists and offenders. Or perhaps I offended you all. Please forgive my offenses and please save my life." Exalted, Lord Advaita Charja knitted his eyebrows and he began to dance, saying, "Why would you feel ecstatic love? I, Nada, have dried up all your ecstasy when I touched your feet when you had fainted before. Go ahead, enjoy pastimes of ecstatic love with the sellers of flowers and the sellers of sesame seeds. You made your avaduta, Nityananda, a servant of ecstatic love, while I, meanwhile, am left outside. Nityananda Avadut came here, and because the gatekeeper of the storehouse of ecstatic love, you appointed him as such, and now we are not qualified. Lord, if you do not give me ecstatic love, then I will dry up all your love, and I will not feel even slightly at fault." Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was morose and was feeling incapable of attaining ecstatic love for Krishna, Advaita Charja began to clap his hands, and he happily began dancing. Hearing Advaita's words, Lord Chaitanya gave no reply. Instead, he quickly ran to the door, and with great power, he broke down the door. He then ran outside and headed towards the Ganga. Nityananda and Haridas quickly ran after him. Thinking that his body was now empty of all spiritual love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped into the Ganga, and Nityananda and Haridas jumped after him. Nityananda hastily grabbed the Lord's hair, and Haridas grabbed his feet, and they dragged him to the shore. "Why did you drag me out?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demanded. "Why should I stay alive if there is no ecstatic love in my life? Why did you two rescue me?" Trembling, Nityananda and Haridas fearfully thought, "What will happen now?" Looking at Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya said, "Why did you grab me by the hair?" Nityananda replied, "Why did you try to commit suicide by jumping in the Ganga?" Nityananda began to shed tears of love, for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was his life, his wealth, and his friend. He was everything to him. The Lord said, "Listen, Nityananda. Please listen, Haridas. You followed me here. If anyone asks about me, tell them I could not find him. I did not see him. Now I will go into hiding. If you tell anyone where I am, the result of your words will not be my fault." And after speaking these words, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to hide in the home of Nandanacharya. And following the Lord's order, Nityananda and Haridas kept the secret. The other devotees, however, being unable to hear news of Lord Chaitanya, they became filled with grief and feelings of separation. And they began to weep, and they were unable to speak. Their hearts felt as if they were on fire. It was as if lightning had fallen on everyone. Overcome with grief, everyone returned to their own homes. In their hearts, they carefully kept only one thing: the treasure of the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaitacharya thought himself a great offender and unhappy in separation from the Lord. He remained at home and refrained from eating. He simply fasted. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at the home of Nandanacharya, and he sat down on the throne of Lord Vishnu. And seeing that great auspiciousness had come to his house, Nandanacharya fell to the ground offering dandavat obeisances. He quickly brought fresh garments, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted them and shed his wet clothes. With sandalwood paste and garlands and splendid argya and fragrances, Nandanacharya decorated Lord Chaitanya's graceful limbs. Bringing betel nuts and camphor, he placed them in the Lord's mouth. And to please his devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happily chewed them. Nandanacharya's service made Lord Chaitanya forget all of his sufferings. Holding more betel nuts, Nandana sat down and the Lord said, "Oh, Nandanacharya, please hear my words. Would you give me a place to hide?" Nandanacharya replied, "Lord, that is a very difficult task. Where can I hide you in this material world? I cannot hide you in my heart, for the devotees will know that you are there. If you cannot peacefully hide even in the midst of the milk ocean, how can I hide you anywhere within this material world?" And hearing Nandanacharya's words, Lord Chaitanya smiled. But the Lord nevertheless spent that night in Nandanacharya's home, with fortunate Nandanacharya staying awake the entire night and conversing with the Lord. As the two of them talked about the nectar of Lord Krishna, the night passed like a single moment. When the sun had arisen, the Lord, who previously wished to chastise Advaitacharya, now became soft-hearted and merciful. "Now it is day," he said, and glancing at Nandanacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered, "Go and bring Srivas Pandit here." Nandan quickly went to Srivas Thakur's house. He returned and brought Srivas before the Lord. And seeing the Lord, Srivas Pandit began to weep with love. The Lord said, "Don't be unhappy at heart. Please, tell me news of Advaitacharya. How is he?" Srivas repeated, "Lord, since yesterday, Advaitacharya has been fasting. He is like a walking corpse. Please, show yourself to him. Make him happy. Bring him to life. Oh Lord, you are our very life. Being without you, as we have since yesterday, it is unbearable for us. You are the very life for all of us. Why must we continue to suffer in this way? You have already beaten us with words like a stick. Now please give us your mercy." After hearing Srivas's words, the merciful Lord went to Advaita, and he saw that a directed charger had fallen unconscious. In his heart, he was thinking himself a great offender. When he had previously considered that he attained the Lord's mercy, he felt intoxicated with pride. And now, having been punished by his master, a directed charger's body was trembling. Looking at Advaita, the merciful Lord Chaitanya said, "Rise, Advaita Charger, it is I, it is Vishambhar." Embarrassed, Advaita said nothing, but in his heart, which was filled with love, he meditated upon Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Again, Lord Chaitanya said, "Rise, Advaita Charger, don't worry, rise and perform your duties." Advaita Charger replied, "Lord, I will perform my duties. Lord, whatever you say, I will do. Lord, to everyone else you give the mood of service, but to me you give only affection. You give only affection and honor. Please punish me. You are my life, you are my wealth, you are my body and my mind. You are everything to me. You may give suffering to me, for you are the Supreme Lord, and that is your right. Lord, please give me the mood of service. As you give the others, please treat me like a maidservant's son and keep me at your feet." Hearing Advaita Charger's words, Lord Chaitanya spoke to Advaita as all the Vaishnavas listened. "Listen, Advaita. Please listen. I will tell you the truth. Please look at an example drawn from ordinary life. When the king's officer arrives at the palace, the guards at the door request him for their wages. Later, when the officer sees the king, the officer gets the money the palace guards have requested, and later he gives the guards their money. The officer requests the king, and on the king's order, the officer later pays the wages to the guards. The king may burden the officer with governing the kingdom, or if the officer commits an offense, the king may with his left hand slap him in punishment. In the same way, Lord Krishna is the supreme king. He is the king of all kings. The creator, Brahma, and the destroyer, Shiva, are both his servants. Lord Krishna gives them the power to create and other powers as well. If Lord Krishna punishes them, no one can criticize him. The demigoddesses, headed by Lakshmi, and the demigods, headed by Shiva, are all subject to be punished by Lord Krishna. Still, Lord Krishna always forgives the offenses of his servants. Birth after birth, you are Lord Krishna's servant. This I tell you. Rise, bathe, and perform your worship. Don't worry. Please, begin eating again." Hearing the Lord's words, Advaita Charger became joyful, for his desire always was that the Lord not treat him as a respectable senior, but the Lord would punish him as he would his servant. Thus Advaita, hearing from the Lord's own mouth how the Lord's servant is sometimes punished, he smiled broadly and called out, "I say that you are the Lord. You have sovereignty over all." Advaita then clapped his hands happily, and he began to dance, overcome with bliss. And seeing the bliss of Advaita Charger, all the Vaishnavas became blissful, and they called out, "Hari Bol!" And Nityananda and Haridas smiled. All the servants of Lord Krishna carry Lord Krishna's own power. And if any of them commits an offense, Lord Krishna punishes him. Beginners who go by the name of devotees of Lord Krishna always quarrel, for their knowledge is small. Please know that this quarreling is a great misdeed. True Vaishnavas never take sides in these quarrels. A servant of Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Lord himself, is more exalted even than the demigods who create, maintain, and destroy the universe. No one is greater than a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Balaram holds up the countless universes. Who is greater than him? He is a servant of Lord Chaitanya. All glories to Lord Nityananda Balaram. By his mercy, the glories of Lord Chaitanya are now manifesting in this world. By Lord Nityananda's mercy, one attains love for Lord Chaitanya. It is only by the power given by Lord Nityananda that I am able to speak these words. Lord Chaitanya is the master of my master. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, with great faith, I always meditate on both of them, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, within my heart.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Thank you.
One day, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, powerful, glorious, and ecstatic, Nityananda carefully watched him from every direction. Nityananda held his arms out, ready to catch Lord Chaitanya if he should fall. Filled with ecstatic love, Lord Chaitanya danced. What tongue has the power to describe his dancing? Fulfilling the desires of his heart, Balaram and Saraswati sing the Lord's glories. One moment, Lord Chaitanya fell unconscious. The next moment he trembled. The next moment he humbly placed the blade of grass between his teeth. The next moment he was wild and arrogant. The next moment he laughed. And then he sighed. And then he became morose. In this way, Lord Chaitanya manifested the symptoms of ecstatic love. One moment, Lord Chaitanya sat in the Virasan posture and laughed uproariously. In this way, he gave his mercy to everyone and made everyone fortunate. Then all the Vaishnavas became plunged into a very deep ocean of bliss. Seeing Suklambara Brahmachari before him, Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, gave his mercy. Please hear the story of Suklambara. He lived in Navadvip, where the Lord himself was born. Suklambara was very peaceful, and he was very dutiful. No one could understand that he was a very great devotee of the Lord. Carrying a small satchel over his shoulder, he would beg alms from house to house in Navadvip. But day and night, he would be chanting, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And tears would stream from his eyes. The people thought him an ordinary beggar. They did not understand him. He begged alms even from the poorest persons. Each day, the Brahmin Suklambara begged alms. And he offered the food he had received to Lord Krishna and then ate the remnants that Lord Krishna left. By Lord Krishna's blissful mercy, Suklambara never knew poverty. At home, he always chanted, Krishna, Krishna. Who has the power to understand a person who has received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? Only one who has himself received that mercy can understand. Suklambara was a great devotee. He was like poverty-stricken Sudama Brahmana who lived in ancient times. Lord Chaitanya's special mercy was always present with Suklambara, with his satchel still over his shoulder. The Brahmin Suklambara happily would dance. And watching him, Lord Chaitanya and all the Vaishnavas would smile. Entering the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya sat down. The Brahmin Suklambara danced, he wept, and he laughed. Watching Suklambara, merciful Lord Chaitanya said, come here, come here. Then the Lord said to him, birth after birth, you are my poverty-stricken servant. Giving me everything, you remain a beggar. At every moment, I wish to accept what you offer. And if you do not give it to me, then by force I take it and I eat it. Have you forgotten? In Dwarka, I forcibly took your rice and I ate it. And then Goddess Lakshmi Devi, Rukmini Devi, grabbed my hand. Speaking these words, Lord Chaitanya thrust his hand into Sukumbhara's satchel and he pulled out rice, and handful after handful, he began eating that rice. Sukumbhara said, Lord, now everything is lost to me. These are all broken pieces of rice. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I eat your broken pieces of rice, but I do not desire even nectar when it is offered by persons who have no devotion to me. The Lord is blissful and he is independent. He is his devotee's life. Who can stop him from eating his devotee's rice? And seeing the Lord's mercy on Sukumbhara, all the devotees placed their heads in their hands, and they began weeping. Not knowing where they were, they fell to the ground and simply wept. Seeing the Lord's mercy, everyone was overcome with happiness. Then arose a very blissful kirtan of Lord Krishna's names. From the children to the elders, everyone sang and everyone wept. Some humbly placed a blade of grass between their teeth. Some bowed down. Some said, Lord, please never abandon me. Saintly Sukumbhara rolled on the ground. The king of Vaikuntha had happily eaten his rice. The Lord said, Listen, Sukumbhara Brahmachari. I always enjoy pastimes within your heart. What you eat is what I eat. When you walk about collecting alms, I also walk about with you. I descended to this world to distribute devotional service and pure love, prema bhakti. Birth after birth, you are my affectionate servant. And now, I give you devotional service, prema, pure love. Please know for certain, devotional service and pure love, prema bhakti, these are my life's breath. Take this, it is yours. And hearing this blessing given to Sukumbhara, the circle of Vaishnavas made a great, loud and joyous sound of Jai, Jai, Hanuman! What fortunate person knows the nectar heart of the devotees? Even though they are the servants of Goddess Lakshmi's husband, they still go begging from house to house. Goddess Lakshmi's husband, Lord Chaitanya, ate the rice Sukumbhara Brahmana had begged from 10 homes. In the Vedas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is a great treasure house of transcendental virtues, describes the rules of offering. With mudras, with mantras, he describes all the rules of offering food to him. And if these rules are not followed, the Lord will not accept anything. Still, when he comes to his devotee's doorstep, the Lord pounds those rules into powder. Sukumbhara's rice is the proof of this. Therefore, love and devotion are the life breath of all rules and regulations. orders and prohibitions are all servants of love, of devotion. Anyone unhappy with this will perish. Vedavyasa affirms that love and devotion are at the root of all rules and regulations. Lord Chaitanya showed this, how this is true. Suklambha Brahmana did not do any mudras. He did not even make an offering. Still, the Lord ate his rice with great care. Persons blinded by sense pleasures do not understand. Persons intoxicated by wealth, family, and children do not understand the Vaishnava's power. Lord Krishna never accepts the opulent worship and offerings of fools, who, seeing them only as poverty-stricken people, they mock the Vaishnavas. This is described in the following words of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees, and those who are puffed up with material education, with wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activities are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride the devotees. And even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts. Lord Krishna is the life breath of the materially impoverished devotees. This all the Vedas sing. Lord Chaitanya personally showed the truth of this. And anyone who hears this story of how the Lord ate Suklambara's rice, that person will attain pure love and devotion for Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. On another morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the home of Suklambara Brahmacharya and said, "I have a strong desire to eat the food that you offer. Don't be afraid. This is my firm decision." Again and again Lord Chaitanya spoke in this way. And hearing this, Suklambara's voice choked with emotion. "I am a beggar. I am lowly. I am degraded. I am a condemned sinner. You are the eternal religion personified, and I am fallen. O Lord, when will you give me the shade of your feet? I am not as good as a worm. I am less than an insect. You are only playing a trick on me." Lord Chaitanya said, "Please do not think in this way. I strongly desire to taste your cooking. Quickly, prepare an offering to the Lord, and I will come at midday, and I will eat." Still, Suklambara was frightened at heart. He asked the devotees what he should do, and they all said, "Why are you afraid? The truth is that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and he always tries to eat the food offered by those who worship him with love. He begged food from Vidura, who was a Sudra's son. He did that because of Vidura's devotion. The Lord begs food from his devotees, and he eats what they offer. That is his nature. Go home, prepare an elaborate meal, and offer it to him with love and devotion. You are so fortunate. The Lord is so kind to you." Hearing these words, Sukumbhara Brahmana happily returned, and after bathing in the Ganga, Sukumbhara carefully heated some scented water. He cooked rice and many other preparations, and as he cooked, he strictly observed the strict rules of cleanliness. He did not touch anything as he cooked. But as he cooked, he ecstatically chanted, Jai Sri Krishna, Hare Krishna, Jai Govinda, Jai Gopal, Jai Govinda, Jai Gopal. At that moment, Goddess Lakshmi Devi, who is very devoted to her husband, who is the mother of the worlds, she glanced at Sukumbhara's offering, and the food immediately became the sweetest of nectars. Then, just after bathing in the Ganga, Lord Chaitanya arrived with Nityananda and others. Lord Chaitanya changed out of his wet clothing, and feeling hungry, he happily glanced at Sukumbhara, whose house was just near the Ganga. And smiling, Lord Chaitanya sat down and ate. It is very difficult to become fortunate like Sukumbhara. Lord Chaitanya said, from the time of my birth, I have never tasted any food more delicious than this. I cannot describe it. How did you, without even touching the food, cook like this? You are one of my friends. Friends are you, like you, are the root from which I grow. Lord Chaitanya cast a glance of mercy at Sukumbhara. And all the devotees began to weep. Again and again the Lord relished Sukumbhara's food. Filled with bliss he ate. Non-devotee sinners, even if they are billionaires, should see the mercy the beggar Sukumbhara attained. By wealth, by followers, by material learning, one does not attain Lord Chaitanya. For the Supreme Lord is conquered only by the nectar of devotional loving service. After the Lord finished eating, Sukumbhara accepted the remnants from the Lord's plate, and the other devotees, overcome with bliss, forgot all else. How much bliss there was in that beggar's home! In this way, Lord Chaitanya happily enjoyed pastimes, and after some time, Lord Chaitanya lay down for a nap. The devotees also lay down to take rest. Sri Vijayadas was one of the Lord's students, and no one in Navadvip wrote as gracefully as he did. He personally copied many books for Lord Chaitanya, and everyone called him Vijay, the expert at writing. Still, because they had no devotion, most people could not understand the heart of Vijay. As he lay down, Lord Chaitanya rested his hand on Vijay's body. Vijay suddenly saw many great wonders. He saw that the Lord's hand suddenly became like a great lofty pillar. Then he saw the Lord was covered with jeweled ornaments. Then he saw many jeweled rings on the Lord's fingers, with the splendor of how many millions of suns and moons did those jewels glisten. Seeing Lord Chaitanya's effulgent hands spread everywhere, even up to the demigod Brahma, Vijay rejoiced. On seeing all this, Vijay suddenly and loudly began to call out. But Lord Chaitanya then quickly placed his graceful hand over Vijay's mouth. Lord Chaitanya said, "For as many days as I am here, don't tell anyone of this." Speaking these words, the Lord smiled and glanced at Vijay. Vijay jumped up and he roared. Vijay's roar awakened the devotees. They tried to hold Vijay still, but no one could hold him. For some moments, Vijay was like a madman. At the end, he fainted in ecstasy. The devotees knew Vijay must have seen some wonder, and everyone wept. The Lord asked everyone, "What did he say? What did he say?" Suddenly, Vijay, he began to scream. Then the Lord said, "I think it must be the power of the Ganga. Vijay was very devoted to the Ganga. Or perhaps not. Perhaps it is because the deities in Sukumbara's home. Or perhaps Vijay saw Lord Krishna." And after speaking these words, Lord Chaitanya placed his hand on Vijay's body. Vijay suddenly regained consciousness, and all the Vaishnavas smiled, and rising up, Vijay remained stunned, like an inanimate object. For 7 days he wandered in Nadia like that. He did not eat, he did not sleep, he ignored his body. In this way, Vijay wandered about, and no one could understand his heart. After some days, Vijay returned to external consciousness. These wonderful pastimes happened in Sukumbara's home. Who has the power to describe Sukumbara's good fortune? Lord Chaitanya personally accepted the food that he had cooked. Simply by hearing these pastimes of the Lord's eating Sukumbara's cooking and his giving mercy to Vijay, one attains the great treasure of pure devotional service. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya, before whom all the Vedas bow down, enjoyed his pastimes in Navadvipa. The two moons, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda, are my life and soul, and I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of their lotus feet.
Thank you. Hare Hare.